Yeah, we're going to be talking about the afterlife. Sounds fun? Trevor had a great idea. He's like, bro, are you going to divide us into the sheep and the goats? And then like look at the book and see if our name is there? It's not going to be like that. But yeah, it's a great subject. And especially like we hear a lot about the end times lately, and we just thought as a church that it'd be good to go through some basic theology that we believe in, because sometimes it's really easy for false teachings to get into the church, especially if we like don't talk about these things. So for the next 4 weeks, we're gonna go through some basic teachings on who gets to go to heaven. Next week, we're going to talk specifically about heaven, what it is, what it's not. The week after, it's about hell. And then the last one is on believe, what it means to believe. But even though it might seem a little, basic at times, I think it's really good for us to go through these things. Not just for ourselves, but also to be prepared to answer questions when we're asked. I know sometimes people are very curious about the afterlife. Before we're saved, that sometimes that's the main thing that attracts us to Christianity, or that makes us reject Christianity, is the whole question of heaven and hell. So it's really important to talk about it. And if you read the Gospels, Jesus talks a lot about in the end how there will be false prophets and false teachings, and that the elect even will be deceived. And so we want to make sure that doesn't happen. Sounds good? All right. So In our culture, many people want to believe that everyone goes to heaven, because it's a little bit offensive to think that actually hell does exist and some people will go there, and the whole understanding of God being love and yet hell existing sometimes can seem contradicting for some people, but we're going to talk about that later. So popular culture says that if there's such a thing, and everyone gets to go to heaven. So we're going to look through what the Bible teaches about that. Jesus spent a lot of time talking about eternity. I looked into just the times that heaven and hell, those words are mentioned. And, well, hell, it's an English word. So Hades and other words that mean hell, about 150 times in the New Testament. So, it's a big subject. So let's go through that. And when you think about it, in the span of eternity, as much as we can grasp the concept of eternity, our life on earth is very, it doesn't represent very much. So we should focus on eternity. So, beliefs that are out there. Universalism believes that all will be saved regardless of religious beliefs. So Muslims, Hindus, and Christians are on the same basic path and everyone will find their way to heaven. Have you ever heard that one? Yes. I've even heard, church-going people say that before. So we can go to the next slide. The truth is that Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." So there's really no arguing with that. If you ever wondered, well, maybe there is another way. Jesus made it pretty clear for us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. And, I've heard all kinds of arguments. Well, how can God be so narrow-minded that he just wants Jesus? Well, it all comes down to believing who God said he is and who Jesus is and why Jesus needed to be sent to us for salvation. So you can go to the next slide. Now, there is also Christian universalism that contends that all will be saved because of what Jesus did on the cross, that you don't have to choose Jesus, he chose you. And the truth is that the Bible is clear that we have to choose Jesus even though he chose us. Next, evangelical universalism. I bet you didn't know there was all these terms. Argues that God saves exclusively through Christ, and that those who deny Christ or have not heard of Christ or have rejected God's natural revelation to them will be judged and will experience hell temporarily. And again, it's trying to get out of that, you know, some people will spend eternity in hell, because that's really hard to believe. It really puts a responsibility on us for our own lives and for us to share the gospel if we truly believe that hell exists and some people will spend eternity in there. So there's nothing in the Bible that says that hell will be just a temporary thing. We can skip that. Now, the next one. Can you go to the next one? That's fine. Can someone pronounce that word for me? So this view is that those who don't respond to the gospel will be judged and will experience hell, but that eventually their punishment will run out and they will be utterly destroyed and cease from existence. Again, having a problem here with eternity in hell. Now, the Bible says that we are eternal, like our spirit is eternal. There's nothing we can do about that. And so what Keshe Fire believes is that those who reject Christ will be judged on the basis of that. Those who have not responded to Christ will suffer eternal and conscious separation from God in hell, which is absolutely awful. And that's why we need to share our faith, because this is serious. It's true. Universalism was actually condemned as a heresy just 500 years after Jesus. The Catholic, Orthodox, and Protestants reject that belief, that idea, that ultimately hell will be empty with all people and eventually inheriting eternal life. Although it would be nice, and I'm sure, you know, as we read in the Bible, that would be God's perfect will, but the Bible says that, unfortunately, this is not the case. Because God wants all to be saved. God loves everyone that he created, obviously. And he wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. But at the same time, he's outside of time. It's a concept that we can't grasp. So he knows the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and the end. And so he already knows that this will not happen. It's kind of interesting to think that God doesn't ultimately get what he wants because he gave us free will. I read something lately from someone that does night watch at IHOP in Kansas City, and it really, really stirred my heart. You know how many times we talk about, oh, how can this loving God send people to hell for eternity? That's why so many people try to twist it and try to convince themselves that, okay, well, maybe hell is temporary, or maybe, you know, it will last for a certain while and then it will stop. Because it's hard to grasp that concept that a loving God would create such a place, right? But the thing is that he came to rescue us. Jesus came to rescue us because we'd committed high treason against the court of heaven. We're guilty. And the court of heaven offers us mercy that we could turn to him. And really, the question is not whether, how can a good God send people to hell? Is how can a good God let you and I live? How can a good and just God, let us have life because we're guilty and we've committed high treason against the court of heaven? So sometimes the way we think is just wrong. It's twisted, and we think of ourselves as much more than we are, and that deserving much more than we deserve. We don't deserve anything that God has done for us. So despite God's desire that all would be saved, Jesus said that not everyone will. In Matthew 7:21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." And again, we need to choose Jesus. And if we don't, the consequence is separation from God. You know, hell really, we're going to go deeper into that in 2 weeks, but all it is being separated from God. How can a loving God force us to spend eternity with him if we didn't want to be with him on the earth? So that's the whole question. And sometimes you hear, is there a second chance? So again, trying to get around this whole thing, well, maybe after we die, Jesus will come wherever we are in like purgatory or whatever you call it, and then maybe he'll give us a second chance because he's love. The thing is that there's no passages that say that people have a second chance to believe in Jesus and be saved. Actually, in Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this is the judgment." And it doesn't say after the judgment and then a second chance. Does that all make sense so far? We're a pretty small congregation, so I think it would be safe to open just the next 5 minutes to questions, just because this is the different kind of teaching. We don't really do these kinds of of sermons very often. So I thought it would be fun to open it up for you if you have questions before I keep going, because I've been talking a lot and telling you a lot of information. Is there something that you've been feeling like asking since I started? I couldn't do this in the church of 2000, but I can do this here. Any questions about the content, or like, have you encountered lately some people asking you questions about the afterlife that you didn't know how to answer? No questions at all. Y'all great theologians. Seriously, no questions? If I keep going? Trevor. Yeah. Why it's so important to know the truth about this? Well, I personally think because it does affect our daily life, and it affects the way we share the gospel. I guess if you, let's say you believe that there is a second chance, there won't be that urgency in your heart to share the gospel because, well, people will get a second chance anyways. Or if you, if you believe that eventually, or the view, I think it was the evangelical universalism, like if you believe that doesn't matter anyways because Jesus chose us, we don't have to choose him. That's kind of a big deal. That really means that you don't believe that Jesus said who he said he was. And again, it affects the church in the way of its witness to the lost. That would be my answer. Anyone else? Great. So if the lost are lost, we need to respond. And it says in Romans 10:14, how then can they call on the one who they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So who gets to go to heaven? You know that answer? It's okay. You can clear the screen. Who gets to go to heaven? Believers! For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. I remember a freshman conference, there was a speaker called Cletus Adrian, and he's an evangelist. His heart for evangelism just always stirs me. And sorry, can you clear that? Thank you. He just so understands the urgency of sharing the gospel with people. And he said, if you don't understand the urgency, like think of it this way. It's like you're standing on the subway platform, and there's a bunch of people on the tracks, and the train is coming, and they can't hear it, they can't see it, and they're gonna die if you don't say anything. You're just standing on the platform, and you're like, well, you know, might be a good idea to get up on the platform because, you know, could be bad if you stay there, but you know, it's your choice. I don't want to force you. Or he's like, if you truly get it, you'll be like, get up here, you're gonna die in 2 seconds. And it always stuck with me because sometimes, a lot of times, actually, I really don't have that urgency in my heart, that understanding, that revelation, that, wow, like, this is serious. Hell does exist, and some people will spend eternity in there, and it's awful, and sometimes we don't want even to think about it because it's too hard. But the truth is, it will happen, and and when we get into that place, we don't apologize so much for sharing the gospel, but we're like, hey, this is a good news, and you need to hear it. And we don't care so much all of a sudden about being politically correct and pleasing people and, you know, wanting to keep their friendship or whatever it is. So I think we really need to ask God for that sense of urgency, that understanding. Yes. Are there different rules for Jews in order for salvation? That is a great debate in the church. Actually, there's different views. And in my point of view, and I believe Catch the Fire, there's no different rules, actually. That it all depends on Jesus. Even in it's funny, I was asking Jay that question just not long ago. there's really no Bible passages that talk about the Jews being able to be saved apart from Jesus. So, but we can talk about that later if you want. Anyone else? Before I end this. So let's just stand. I know this is a different kind of message, and but I want us to really understand how important it is to be actively involved in seeing people come to know Jesus. So this morning, if you're someone who's been or have struggled with fear, fear of people's reaction when you talk about God, when you talk about Jesus, or if even you feel like your lifestyle doesn't really show Jesus and you're afraid of talking about him, or you don't know what to say, I just want to take this time this morning to really just spend time with God and just pour out your heart. I believe that he wants to really pour out his passion for the lost. So God, I just want to repent first for the times where I try to not even think about heaven and hell or eternity altogether and just focus on this life on earth, God. You call us to focus on eternity, on eternal things, and not on our own salvation only, God, but the ones around us. I just pray this morning that we would be filled with truth, that you would set our hearts straight when it comes to what we believe, what we want to believe about eternity, God, and about hell, and if we've tried to convince ourselves that, well, it's not that bad and it's not my responsibility to share this good news. We just repent, God, and we pray that you change our hearts. We pray for a deeper revelation of eternity, of what it means for us and for those around us, and how it should affect our daily life.
Even as we're praying, I believe that God has a heart for the lost because he does want to save them from eternity as much as he wants to save us in hell. And sometimes, I remember telling God, oh God, I care about this, this, and this, and this. God just telling me, I care about souls and eternity. Remember that as God, I care about my wallet. And God's like, I care about eternity. I've said, God, I really care about getting a new truck. And God was like, keep your eyes on eternal things. There was an old revivalist named Jonathan Edwards once who wrote this in a book. He prayed this prayer. He said, Dear Lord, stamp eternity on my eyes until I can see nothing else. And when you have a view of eternity, then you know that hell is a long, long time for somebody. And that urgency actually comes into your heart. And you realize why God died on a cross. Why he allowed himself to be beaten, whipped, spit on. Nailed through his hands and his feet. Mocked. Enduring immeasurable suffering and shame. That we wouldn't have to go through that. And so right now, we just ask the Lord to infuse us with that same passion that brought him to the cross. I believe that they say Jesus talked about hell more than anybody else. Almost at the end of every one of his parables and sermons, he talks about hell. Not because he wanted to see people going there, but because he didn't want to see anyone going there. And so right now I ask the Lord that I would have that same heart that Jesus has. The heart that doesn't want to see people going to hell for eternity. The heart that would make me want to proclaim the good news, to take being made fun of by people, to take being misunderstood, to take maybe being beaten, to take me maybe even being looked at funny. To take maybe harsh comments from atheists. I've had quite a few. To have the courage to wrestle with somebody for their soul. Because we do not want to see them go for an eternity in hell. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
This week, I lost my iPhone 4. Jay lost his wallet. And there's one evening I was just sitting outside and tears came up to my eyes. I was like, this is not good. I am not happy. And I was just having a little fit with God. And God was like, are you crying about an iPhone and a wallet? I was like, yeah. And then he said, I cry for souls. I cry for souls. And he was just showing me how disconnected I was from where his heart is at. Let's have eternity stamped on our eyes that we wouldn't see anything else. So we're just gonna sing another song, and if you feel like you want to tell Jesus, I will be your witness. Use me, God. Here I am, send me. I want to cry for souls too. Just come up to the front right now as we sing this next song.